This is a frightened village. Here, it is wiser to close your ears to a scream in the night.
Many of these men have eaten human flesh, but more about them later.
Well, it's lucky the local vampires needed your help getting their green cards, isn't it? These are rather nice. Cuban?
And now, here are the ball scores.
4-3, 6-2, and 8-1.
You made me cry when you said goodbye.
I'm not ashamed. My tears fell like rain.
That was Skinny Dynamo's record. That's a shame.
This episode won an Emmy Award, so you can bet it'll knock your Zorgs off. What? You don't wear Zorgs? Whatever.
Meeting in the cemetery.
I don't have to tell you anything.
Rob Zombie.
Say what? All right.
Can really relate to that.
Let's go!
Believe in the boogeyman.
Remark Radio, the world's original all horror broadcast.
When the solid world of everyday reality disintegrates,
to be free, one must give up a little part of oneself.
Welcome to Remark Radio, the Weird Wide Web's original all-horror show. Yeah, hey! Thanks for tuning in, fiends. I'm your host, the musical ghost, Doom Dragomir.
The first lesson a revolutionary must learn is that he is a doomed man. Unless he understands this, he does not grasp the essential meaning of his life.
This week on the broadcast,
We've got Roger Corman, John Carpenter, Toby Hooper, Rick Baker, Frank Darabont, a lot of people, though, a pretty great group of horror icons.
Director, producer, icon in his own right, Mick Garris joins us. Our blood-spattered god spends 66 seconds with Captain Clegg.
Good idea, huh? Let's go, Captain Clegg!
And Cosmic Critics testify with the Book of Eli.
Cursed be the ground for our sake. For out of the ground we were taken, and to the dust we shall return. I told you you weren't going to get that back.
Spooky tunes en route from the Stranglers, Serpentines, Royal Dead, plus tons more fun to come. I got a snake like a tongue. It's the Cramps, Wilder, Wilder, Faster, Faster, on your only home for horror, rock and roll, Rewarg.
Out.
Waste them.
Hear the Cramp sing You Got the Blues.
You got the blues.
Just art, carved with a chisel, but with smugness, highlighted $2 pistol. Wild, wild.
Garrus are up after this from the Royal Dead Zombie Stomp.
I'm Udo Kier. I'm sitting here at the convention, and you are listening to Remorg radio station. Stay tuned. Bye.
All right. Just stop the f***ing spitting.
So first of all, what is the state of the Church of Satan? I was going to ask you about Wes Craven, and now I'm ashamed to.
Les Messman style.
Possibly the Antichrist.
Like a zombie character on Sesame Street.
All of a sudden it seems so irrelevant. Continue.
I speak nothing but the fucking English language. And if that's infamous, then
tough titters.
All right, this is Feedback, and this week I'm talking to the man who created the Masters of Horror TV series, the prodigious writer, director, and producer, Mick Garrus. His latest show, Postmortem, debuts next month on Fearnet. Okay, so tell me about Postmortem. What can we expect to see?
Postmortem is kind of a one-on-one Charlie Rose of Horror kind of interview show, where I take my role as the Zelig of Horror exploit it, basically, and just talk to friends who are icons in the horror film industry and have a chat that will go on as a half an hour interview show unbroken.
So how do we get to see it exactly?
On fearnet.com you will see 3 to 5 minute webisodes. And if you have Fearnet as a video on demand channel, then you can watch the half hour show on that.
And who are we going to get to see on the show?
We've got Roger Corman, John Carpenter, Toby Hooper, Rick Baker, Frank Darabont, a lot of people. Real interesting assortment of people. Wes Craven is on. So pretty great group of horror icons.
And in a way, you're going back to your roots because you were the host of a talk show with horror personalities years ago.
Yeah, about 30 years ago, I interviewed people for a show I did called the Fantasy Film Festival on the late lamented Z Channel, the first pay TV channel in Los Angeles.
I want to ask you about an interview you did that's included on the Criterion release of Videodrome, and it's with David Cronenberg, John Carpenter, and John Landis, and they have just respectively made Videodrome, The Thing, and American Werewolf. And it's just an incredible interview and really one of the most exciting periods in horror films.
That was actually a little bit different. I was doing special publicity, genre publicity for Universal. At the same time, I had completed doing my Z Channel show for a couple of years. So I got the idea to put together this thing called Fear on Film. And they were all three Universal releases here in the States. And so the idea was to get them together and do a panel that was also a quiet promotion for all three of those movies. And we gave it to any channel that would want to run it, a half-hour show, run it late night, or any openings they had on weekends and the like. USA Network ran it. And it was sort of a pilot to do a show like that. But that was a one-off. It was one of a kind and pretty unique. You're right. It was exactly at one of the most exciting times in horror and just happened to be at a studio that had all three of those movies that I was lucky enough to be working at.
Hi, I'm Mick Garris. Tonight on Take One, we're going to take a look at horror films. David, is there anything you think should not be shown in films?
If you want to take that as an absolutely blanket general question, no, I don't think there's anything that should not be shown in films.
Your films are probably best known, symbolized by the exploding head at the beginning of Scanners.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that?
Just in terms of the effectiveness of that effect and the way it worked in the context of the movie, I'd be happy to be known by that for a while anyway, until the next movie.
So the Z Channel show, how can we see that now? Is it compiled anyway? Is there a DVD of it?
Not, except in my bedroom. Actually, several of them are on the first season Masters of Horror discs. Not all of them were kept, but most of those were Betamax copies that I had taped over the cable for myself. I found out all of the master tapes had been destroyed when the cable company was bought by a different company, and it has changed hands many times over the years. It's now Time Warner Cable here in Los Angeles, but this was like four different ownerships before that, and they destroyed all the masters.
So what's it feel like now to return back to this kind of format many years later and actually interviewing a lot of the same people?
Weird, because we all look like each other's fathers. And strange, because it's going back to an interview, you know, the intent was it would be two filmmakers talking about it who have experience in the genre together. But I really do feel more like a journalist or interviewer like I did 30 years ago. It's not really as much a couple of filmmakers talking about their genre as it is, you know, me playing interviewer, you know, pretending to be Charlie Rose or John Stewart or something with these great guys.
So there was a promo for Postmortem released on YouTube a while ago, and everyone here loved it, and it's very entertaining. So can you tell me about the promo? Who made it? Who came up with the idea? What was it like to make it?
Actually, it's weird because I'm just an actor in that. I didn't write it. I didn't conceive it. The people at FearNet actually hired a professional commercial company to do it, and they mostly do sports promos and commercials for ESPN. But they asked me to do this. They gave me a script, and it was incredibly difficult. It looks very comfortable and easygoing, but I felt like an idiot doing it. Talking into the camera while I'm on a dolly that's rolling with the camera and having to reach out and grab props here and there at particular moments, and we're changing all the dialogue constantly to fit it into the 30-second slot, and I just felt like a complete idiot in front of the camera. But I thought they did a great job of it, and it was fun to do it despite feeling stupid, you know, not in a domain in which I'm comfortable. You know, talking to a camera is a little different than talking to somebody in front of a camera or giving direction to someone else on how they should be. And it was a great lesson in humility.
I'm Mick Garris. When it comes to horror, you might know me as a writer, producer, and director. But I also love making people open up. I'm getting together with the most fascinating people in fright filmmaking. I'm going to pick their brains and find out what they know. But if they've got any secrets they're determined to keep, I have ways of making them talk.
Now, I'm sure you've been asked this many times, but I have to ask you, will Masters of Horror ever resurface?
No. Quite simply, it won't. When it went to NBC, I kind of saw the writing on the wall. I was going to leave it originally because I didn't think any of these guys could have the control that made Masters of Horror what it was. And that ended up being true, and I realized by the nature of commercial television that it was not going to be what we hoped for, and it broke my heart to leave and have my child adopted and abused.
For more information about Postmortem with Mick Garris, go to the website at www.fearnet.com.
Thanks, Feedback. We will return with a contest announcement right after these words. Stay tuned.
When's your test?
I don't need one. From now on, I control all aspects of the game.
You feel you have control, don't you? You think you will walk away untested?
The Jigsaw Killer may be dead, but the murders continue.
When all this is done, you know what to do.
Who else knows about me?
Everyone.
Saw 6. Get it and the original Saw feature film when you buy Saw 6 on DVD while supplies last.
A Nazi legend.
I was 12 when he came to our farm. He needed blood for the ritual, so he froze us in time like this.
A stranger in search of power.
When you rule the blood, death is no longer the end.
And a stone that would make him invincible.
What is that out there?
We had him contained until he came here. We're all going to pay for this now.
Just tell me how to kill him.
Blood Creek on DVD January 19th.
Hey, we're back. Tomb here. Yeah, you know the Midnight Syndicate. Gothic, ethereal, spooky, atmospheric sounds for Halloween all year round. Well, they're celebrating 13 years. Yeah. Happy 13th, guys. With a brand new fancy video contest. Basically, they're asking artists and filmmakers to make a silent film or music video to any one of the Midnight Syndicate songs. The judges will include Tom Savini, you've got Dee Snider from, what's that? I don't know, some radio show, I guess. Robert Kurtzman, Gary Jones. The winner will have their video featured on a Dead Matter DVD. There's also hundreds of dollars in prizes from Screamline Studios, Conquest Graphics, plus tons of other stuff. So check it out. Enter the Midnight Syndicate Video Contest if you think you can beat me.
For contest rules and details, visit MidnightSyndicate.com.
All right, here's a slice from Midnight Syndicate Among the Ruins.
Are you just trying to piss me off, or is that really how you say that?
What are you talking about? I'm talking about this ruined evening.
That's not how you say ruin.
What? Ruin?
What do you call the remains of ancient Greek structures?
Ruins.
And how would you describe this evening?
Well, ruined, of course. This evening is ruined.
Say ruined.
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 Dumbass.
Oh, Brian, don't be cruel.
Thank you.
time to hear what's happening, the latest horror news with Shannon. Shannon, what's up?
So ever since Brad Pitt has grown this gigantic thing on his chin, Tomb has decided it's time for him to have a goatee. Only when he started growing it, it was only like one hair that grew really, really long, and he had to kind of curl it around like a goatee comb over. Just doesn't look nice with a big pubic hair sticking out of your chin, Tomb. I'm sorry. Hey, everybody, it's Shannon, and I've got what's happening horror-wise from around the world. A reminder that the 4th annual Voodoo Ball is February 5th. It's on at the Rickshaw Theater in Vancouver. Don't miss out on burlesque entertainment, awesome acts, and cool tunes. 254 East Hastings Street. Doors open at 7. February is Women in Horror Month, and there are all kinds of activities taking place around the U.S. On February 27th, join in a free horror film convention hosted by actress Raina Young. The action starts at 1 and goes until 6 at 18 Market Street in San Francisco. And the Nevermore Horror Film Festival is February 19th to the 21st in North Carolina. It's a 3-day feast of the macabre. You can order tickets by phone toll-free at 1-888-241-8162. They're dedicated to screening brand new horror features from around the world as well as fan favorites. Go to carolinatheater.org for more details. Now, if you know of something that's going on horror-wise and you want the entire world to know, just send us an email, shannon@roomworkradio.com.
All right, Shannon. Yeah. All right, you win. I can't top the pubic comb over. That's 1 point for Shannon. Here's the Serpentine's The Classic Cut on Rewind Radio.
Hello, I'm Lisa LaDoussard. I'm your blood-spattered guide to music on Rumorg Radio. And this week, I spend a whole minute with Jesse Dayton, a.k.a. Captain Clegg. Jesse is a singer, songwriter, and guitar slinger from Austin, Texas. He likes both kinds of music, country and western, and a little bit of punk rock. He has performed with everyone from Waylon Jennings to the Super Suckers, but you'll know him most for his fictional bands in Rob Zombie movies. He was half of Banjo and Sullivan in The Devil's Rejects.
If you don't like it, you can kiss my grits.
And he was also kidnapped to be Captain Clegg for Halloween 2.
What's the difference between a jack-o'-lantern and a blank? There is no difference. They both have a blank expression and are hollow inside.
He's a busy man. He's got side projects, alter egos, session gigs, but I managed to snag him for 60 sick seconds.
Good idea, huh? Let's go, Captain Klingg!
All right, Jesse Dayton, also known as the Captain Klingg, are you ready to play 66 seconds?
I am ready. Let's bring it.
What is the scariest thing about country music?
The scariest thing about country music is the fact that most of the Pentecostal people in my hometown called it the devil's music. So I would say there's definitely some full-on devil-influenced stuff going on there.
Your band is named for a pirate movie. Who is your favorite pirate?
How can you not be a pirate fan and be a huge Keith Richards fan? I mean, come on, I think Keith Richards is my favorite pirate.
Keith Richards is in terrible trouble, isn't he? Oh, my Lord! I know he's in terrible trouble, because first, you know, he said that he had snorted his father, and then he hadn't snorted his father, and now Disney are saying, oh, we're mad at you. And anyway, what are they going on about? It's Pirates of the Caribbean. The last movie had cannibals in it. Apparently it's okay to eat people, it's just not okay to snort them.
In a sword fight, Captain Klingg or Captain Crunch?
Oh, Captain Klingg. Knock him out of the park.
Oh, the barefoot pirate.
Now, Captain, you will tell me the secret.
Secret?
The secret of what makes Captain Crunch cereal so crunchy.
Oh, that's a secret.
I know it's a secret, and I must have it. Give it to me. Give it to me.
Very well. Sea Dog, give it to him.
Complete this sentence. Southern boys do it.
Dirty.
What was your best ever Halloween costume?
I would say my best Halloween costume ever is Captain Klingg, because I look like Elvis and Danzig on steroids.
Did you get a lot of ladies like that?
No.
A doll like this handling me without warmth or emotion. 20 years ago, just 20, man, I could have made with a curly lip smile and had her eating out of my asshole.
And finally, Jesse, what is Captain Klingg's evil plan for world domination?
Captain Klingg's evil plan for world domination is to start with the pharmacy companies with this new drug that he's coming up with called Zombex. And it's kind of like Xanax, except it turns you into a zombie. And then he's going to turn the whole world into zombies. And during the post-apocalyptic zombie world, Captain Klingg will rule it with an iron fist.
All the underhanded, bushwhacking, dirty schemes ever dreamed up by that mountain of dirt. Ah!
If you saw Jesse perform as Captain Klingg on last year's Rob Zombie Tour, you know he is a great entertainer. For dates, visit DesiDayton.com or his MySpace page, where you can keep up on all the Captain's activities as well. Right now, here is something from Captain Klingg and the Night Creatures on Room Org Radio.
Let's go, Sea Dog. I hate to see a grown pirate cry.
Trick-or-treating with the trailer park trash. A honky-tonking at the Halloween bash. Drinking doubles in a double wide. Spooky people getting Dixie fried. Creepy folks, if you know what I mean. Well, it's a honky-tonk of Halloween. All the monsters are a-having a time. Being dressed like Frankenstein. Dracula drives a truck by day. And the scarecrows have been out availing hay. Well, all the freaks on the trailer park scene. It's a honky-tonk Halloween. Two-stepping on linoleum floors. The ghost keeps slamming my trailer door. Drinking that mad dog wine. Vampires over in the corner looking fine. Well, give me the goosebumps, my white trash queen. Now, it's a honky-tonk of Halloween.
cheating with the Trailer Park Trash. Honky tonking at the Halloween bash. Drinking doubles in a double wide. Spooky people getting Dixie fried. Creepy folks, if you know what I mean. It's a honky tonk Halloween now. It's a honky tonk Halloween. It's a honky tonk Halloween. Creepy people, if you know what I mean. Give me the goosebumps for white trash queens. Well, all the folks from the trailer park scene now. It's a honky tonk Halloween.
Hey, Grandpa, will you tell us a scary story?
Well, okay, but before I start, you'll have to listen very carefully. Promise?
Promise.
Well, it was a dark and stormy Halloween evening. The wind was howling, the owls were hooting, and my pals Billy, Dennis, and Scott and I were all dressed up in our scariest Halloween costumes. Suddenly, we heard strange sounds coming from the vacant house across the street. Carefully, we walked up the stairs onto the creaky porch. We pushed the door open and walked into the pitch-black house. All of a sudden, I felt a cold hand on my shoulder. I turned around, and a vampire with fangs for teeth and bloodshot eyes was standing right in front of me.
Good evening, my little ghosts and goblins, and welcome to the haunted Halloween house. Oh, you want to discover the secret of Halloween, do you? All right, then. It's just behind that door. Open it.
Holding my breath, I walked towards the door. As I reached for the door handle, the door opened. Witches, skeletons, bats came flying at us.
Whoa, then what happened, Grandpa?
I woke up. It was just a dream.
Boom, roasted.
Oh.
Remember, wait till you get home to try Halloween treats and eat Kraft-wrapped candies.
Who the hell was that?
I'm really not sure.
Here's the Tall Boys. Last house on the left on 666 AM Reward Radio. Let's go.
We'll be right back.
stood still on a highway. I saw a woman by the side of the road, with a face that I knew like my own, reflected in my window. Well, she walked up to my quarter light, and she bent down real slow. A fearful pressure paralyzed me in my shadows. She said, "Son, what are you doing here? My fear for you has turned me in my grave." I said, "Mama, I come to the valley of the rich, myself to sell." She said, "Son, this is the road to hell."
This is Pastor Morgan Wilkes
and Victor Marshall,
and you're listening to
Rue Morgue Radio. Love that devil.
This little town, just the beginning.
All we need is that book.
He's different than the others. You're not going to be able to make him do what you want him to do.
This is your last chance. Give it up, or I swear I'll bury you.
I don't want any trouble.
Well, that's too bad.
The Caustic Critic.
Controversial. Unrelenting. It's brutal. It's nasty.
Sensational.
The worst of the worst.
Offend everyone equally.
Bowling.
They're real.
The stuff shit scrapes off the bottom of its shoes.
They're mean.
So what was the actor's name?
Oh, God, what a plank he is.
They're here.
Are you ready? It's time for the Caustic Critic.
They're here.
All right, this is feedback.
And this is Last Chance Lance, brothers and sisters.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Are you ready for a miracle?
So first of all, Lance, what the hell was this movie about?
It was the Book of Eli, Brother Stuart. The Book of Eli. Are you a believer?
I am now.
This was a movie about how great the Christian God is.
I think it was.
It definitely was.
I was so confused watching this film, what this film was trying to say about Christianity. Wow. It had so many mixed messages. But ultimately, I have to say, it seems to put forward this very strong pro-Bible, pro-Christian theme.
Yes.
All right, well, let's start with what it's about.
Okay, we're looking at a post-apocalyptic world that's about 30 or 40 years in the future.
They say the war tore a hole in the sky. Only a few survived.
Some hints are dropped here and there that the war was based on Christianity, had something to do with religion, and so therefore all of the Bibles were destroyed. But Denzel Washington has got the last copy of the King James Bible, Brother Stuart. So he's taking it west.
And this is where things get interesting or strange, is that Denzel Washington is this prophet, you know, post-apocalyptic prophet, tripping around with the last copy of the Bible. He's got super mad, kill-crazy weaponry skills.
Yeah, he's a super
Anyone
sniper.
Anyone that looks the wrong way at this guy, he chops off their head.
I will kill.
He's ruthless, and yet when Mila Kunis throws herself at him and says, "You can ravage me all night long," he has the moral superiority and strength to resist her.
No sex before marriage, Brother Stewart.
Nobody touches it but me, you understand me?
I just no. want to look at it. Please let me just see it.
Nobody touches it but me, you understand me? Do you understand me?
Yes, I understand.
Go to sleep.
So at this point, I'm thinking, wow, this is interesting. This is a real condemnation of Christianity, about the repression of Christianity, you know, and the life-hating qualities of the religion. And yet, that critique seems to slip away further and further as the film proceeds, and what emerges seems to be this real pro-Bible, pro-Christian message. Yeah. We can't really get into the end,
but
quest to spread the word gets out there.
Imagine how different, how righteous this little world could be if we had the right words for our faith. Well, if people would truly understand why they're here and what they're doing, and they wouldn't need any of the ugly motivations. It's not right to keep that book hidden away. It's meant to be shared with others. It's meant to be spread. Is that what you want?
With all my heart and soul.
That shit only happens in the movies anyway. Even in this post-apocalyptic world filled with the most wretched human specimens in this cruel landscape of torture, characters can still resist a hottie like Mila Kunis. I mean, it's insane.
That's one of the problems.
Jimmy Swaggart had been in the corner, jacking off, asking her to pretend she was a little girl.
But that's one thing I'm actually sick and tired of, is with these post-apocalyptic movies. And yes, I'm looking at, you know, Mad Max and Beyond Thunderdome and Road Warrior and Doomsday and A Boy and His Dog, and the list goes on and on and on. And that is that, you know, a person or a group of people are trying to make it from point A to point B, and along the way they meet all of these, you know, horrible people who want to stop them and kill them and perhaps even eat them, which we have in this movie as well. And they've got vehicles that are all armored, and, you know, they've got old machine guns and all kinds of technology that's all put together.
It's becoming tiresome.
And that's what we have exactly in this movie. Yeah. Again. Yeah. But this movie has a lot of good points about it.
It's got a great cast. Gary Oldman.
It's a weapon! A weapon aimed right at the hearts and minds of the weak and the desperate. It will give us control of it. If we want to rule more than one small town, we have to have it. People will come from all over. They do exactly what I tell them if the words are from the book.
Tom Waits. I mean, Denzel Washington is always phenomenal.
A little Malcolm McDowell cameo near the end.
The Michael Gambon.
Amazing.
What's the woman? His wife play this elderly couple of cannibals.
Yeah. Oh, she.
Whatever. Yeah, they're great, innit?
No trespassing. Haven't you read the sign?
I'm very sorry, I didn't see it.
George, look at them. One of them's just a girl.
Yeah, that's an old story. I heard it 100 times before.
We get so few visitors these days. George is suspicious of everybody. I'm Martha. Would you care for some tea?
They're amazing.
Malcolm McDowell shows up at the end, although he doesn't really fit in to the whole thing. That was another thing, too. I mean, he has this really, like, posh British imperialist accent, and he kind of represents where civilization is starting to come together again.
Well,
it's all based on this
professor,
real,
you know,
bourgeois imperialist perception of civilization.
Well, he played almost the exact same role as he did in fucking Doomsday, where he's trying to start this new world and being the leader of it and bringing people civilization again.
I think people are afraid to direct him.
That could be.
Because he's a handful.
Wonderfully
shot.
He does
his thing, and then people don't know how to, like, tailor his performance.
Because they're afraid he's going to go all Alex on them and kick their asses.
Singing in the rain.
It's incredibly well shot.
Yeah. Bleached
out. Like,
I'm
not crazy about these monochromatic color palettes, but this is
all bleached out because the sun is supposed to, like, something's happened to the atmosphere. The sun is scorching the earth, so it's got a very, very, very bleached out color palette, which is just amazing.
But it's got all these, like, subtle tones to it, too.
When it needs to, to kind of bring highlights to certain things, for sure.
It's amazing. And some of the set pieces, the action
fight
set pieces. There's fight scenes in silhouette that are just breathtaking.
Yeah.
There's a gun battle at the house with the Gatling gun.
Oh my God.
With some of the craziest camera moves.
Super long Steadicam shots, just incredible.
These guys have always been kick-ass. I mean, they did Dead Presidents and Menace to Society. They're really stylish filmmakers.
And that's the problem, is you got all these great things put together, great acting, great set pieces, great film cinematography, and it just falls to shit with this crappy-ass story. Do you agree with me, Brother Stewart?
I do, Brother Lance.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Until next time, this is Feedback saying, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, because I'm the meanest motherfucker in the valley.
The valley of the green giants? Is that what that is? This is Last Chance Lance. Praise Amen. Be with you.
Amen.
L'chaim.
Amen.
Heard about the jolly green giant. He's so big and mean. He stands in his valley with his hands on his hip, and then he hits you with the can of beans. He lives down in his valley, the cat stands tall and green. Well, he ain't no prize, and there's no women in sight, and that's why the cat's so mean. One day he left his valley path. I mean to say, this cat was mad. Now looking round, he wasn't gone long, and then he ran into an Amazon. Now this changed his whole complexion. You have never seen such a beautiful sight. He looked at her and she looked at him, and she almost passed out from fright. He looked at her, thought what a dilly. He touched her once, she slapped him silly. Now this was something he'd never sensed. He looked at her and she commenced. Now listen, pal, this ain't no fluke. I can't see going with no big green coop. Now you've heard about the jolly green giant. Don't let his trouble cross your mind. He couldn't get Sally, so went back to his valley. The cat was colorblind.
The devil was once the most favored of the host of angels serving the Lord. But pride welled in his breast. He thought it unseemly for him to serve. The devil and his band of followers, who likewise suffered the sin of pride, were defeated in battle by the Lord and his host, and were banished to the outermost depths of hell, never to know the presence of the Lord or look on heaven again. Smarting with his wounds, but all the more swollen with pride, the devil cried out from the depths, "It is better to rule in hell than serve in heaven." The devil proclaimed what was lost in heaven would be gained on earth. He said, "My offspring, the gargoyles, will one day rule the Lord's works, earth and man." And so it came to pass that while man ruled on earth, the gargoyles waited, lurking, hidden from the light. Reborn every 600 years in man's reckoning of time, the gargoyles joined battle against man to gain dominion over the earth. In each coming, the gargoyles were nearly destroyed by men who flourished in greater numbers. Now it has been so many hundreds of years that it seems the ancient statues and paintings of gargoyles are just products of man's imagination. In this year, with man's thoughts turned toward the many ills he has brought upon himself, man has forgotten his most ancient adversary.
My eyes are gazed upon things you couldn't even imagine. Neon storms on the airstrips that sails marsh. I saw hope in King Gomez's capable eyes before.
as the Stranglers, Time to Die. Thanks for listening, fiends, to Rumorg Radio. It is that time. It's time to go. Yes, there's no more time left for show. So here we go. Away we go. Hey, follow me on Twitter at Twitter.com/Dragomir. Dragomir.
That's not a bad idea.
Music submissions for the show, send them to Rumorg Radio, 2926 Dundas Street West, Toronto, N6B1Y8. It'll be great. Hey, thanks for listening, fiends. Until next time, we'll do it again. This is Tomb Dragomir saying adios.
And this time we're ready. Hey, Fritz, let's have one final test. Throw the switches.
Goodbye, Earth people.
Apparently it's okay to eat people, it's just not okay to snort them.
Damn right.
Would you care for some tea?